Hey everybody, Mark Ashton coming to you here with Project 4-4, September 11th edition. I think it's poetic that on the day, September 11th, that we remember the tragedy of the Twin Towers in New York, that we wrestle through the problem of suffering and evil, because it sure is a question that comes up this time of year, time after time. Now, yesterday we watched Job examine two of the three possible solutions to the theodicy problem. The idea that how can there be so much suffering and evil in this world? And you remember the premises that God is both all-knowing and all-powerful. That's one. The second one is that God is all good. And the third one is that evil exists. How can all three of these be true at the same time? And in yesterday's conversation, we ruled out two of those three. God is all-powerful. Job affirms that for sure. And suffering does exist. Everybody knows that from just watching what Job has been going through. Well, this time, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar have solved the problem by saying that, you know, Job's really not a good person. You just get what you deserve. That's the bottom line. And he's suffering because of the evil that he's done, and that he's hidden from the eyes of men, but not from the eyes of God. God must be punishing him. And the solution, as far as they were concerned, is simple. Zophar states it for the third time in verses 14 through 19 of chapter 11. Just repent, stop covering up your sin, and God will forgive you. Now, this is excellent advice. If the person is suffering, really is suffering because of their sin. But if they're suffering just randomly or for some other reason that transcends the idea of their sinfulness, then it's terrible advice. That's why Job, in chapter 13, gets so angry with Zophar and his friends. Job knows that his suffering is not because he sinned. He doesn't know why it is, but he knows that it's not for that reason. So he turns back to the three basic truths that are constantly challenged by the reality of evil in our world. He's already affirmed that God knows what's going on. He's affirmed that God's the all-powerful creator of the universe. If God is strong enough to form the constellations and galaxies, then certainly he's strong enough to prevent evil from striking down the righteous. He's strong enough. And at the end of his reply to Bildad, we can see that Job is carefully looking at the third possibility. Maybe God really isn't good. Huh. Or at least maybe he's not totally committed to bringing what's good and fair to me. If this is true, if God is all-knowing and all-powerful, but not committed to justice, not totally good, not always to the righteous, then according to Job, it would be better to not have been born. And you know, I have to say, I would agree with Job. If we live in a universe that's run by an evil dictator, some kind of a sadistic madman who's all-powerful and knows everything, but isn't committed to moral goodness, that is a miserable universe to be a part of. Job thinks maybe God doesn't love him anymore. And in times of suffering, it's easy to think this way. You need love and understanding in that context. If you're not feeling the love of God, if you're not experiencing God's goodness in your life, then all the more you need that from the people of God. So I want to make a deal with you today, between you and me, to say, look, if we run into people who are not feeling the love of God, and we believe that it's true, but they're not feeling it, we need to come to them not with correction, which is what Zophar and Bildad and Eliphaz came with. We need to come to them with comfort. Comfort first, correct later. There is a time to be comforting people from God's word, but it's usually not in the midst of affliction. At that point, they need the comfort that comes from the grace of God. Can you make a deal to do that with me? All right, I have two more quotes that I just think are worth examining as we read through these, because they're just classic Book of Job quotes. One of the great verses of the book, and really the whole Bible, is embedded in his angry response to Zophar. He says, though he slays me, this is Job, though he slays me, yet I will trust him. Man, when the world is caving in around you, you gotta know what you trust. And Job decides, I am going to trust God no matter what. I'll believe in him. I'll trust in him. If my world is caving in, even if he kills me, I'm going to trust him. Because there has to be one thing, rock bottom solid, that you can trust. And nothing, no one in this world has proved themselves trustworthy like God has. You know, Job later on has another quote. It's actually in the form of a question. Job says, when you die, that's it. But then something puzzling happens. He asks the question, if a man dies, will he live again? And there's not really an answer given to that question. It's a rhetorical question. But it shows that Job is open to the possibility of a resurrection. Now, you remember how old this book is. It's probably one of the earliest books written in the Bible. There was no sense of the resurrection that you see hints of in Isaiah or in 2 Samuel with David or the Psalms that David wrote. And there's certainly no resurrection of Jesus yet and a promise for all of us. It's an idea that Job was not confident in from this early point of revelation. He's just toying with the idea, asking the question. And it's an important question. Because if all that there is in this world is this world, then the problem of evil is really difficult, because you look around and it is inequitable. There is not a direct correlation between good people get good things, bad people get bad things. Sometimes it gets all messed up. But what if there's an equalizing factor? What if that factor happens after we die? What if there is a resurrection? Job opens up the door for this possibility, and I think it's a brilliant door for him to be opening up. If man dies, will he live again? And the idea is there, and Job is sitting in the ash heap, agonizing from the physical pain, from the affliction, from the emotional pain of his friend's assault. He's grasping at the kernel of truth, and it's the kernel of truth that all of us need in order to be able to continue going on in a world where things are clearly off the hook, inequitable, and where evil oftentimes triumphs. We know that in the end, God will triumph. And so we hang our hat on that and put our trust there. May God's blessings be with you here today as you consider this text. God bless you.